The first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. This is the Ten Commandments that Moses reads to Israel. Moses summoned all of Israel and said, "Hear, O Israel, the decrees and the laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our fathers that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time, I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up on the mountain. On that day, he said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not work, nor do any work, neither you or your son or your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and man and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to obey the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his donkey or ox, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates." This is the word of God for the people of God. And so how did we get here this morning? Again, I missed you last week, and so I feel discombobulated because we missed a whole week from God's big story. And the problem was, the week we missed was a big week. If you read along in your daily devotionals, we missed a pretty big week not to be together. Moses was at the mountain with the burning bush. That's a whole lot to miss with 1 week, especially when the next week we get the Ten Commandments. So we'll recap for just a second, and then we'll jump in to the scripture we read this morning. Last time I was here, 2 weeks ago, Jacob fought with God all night long. Remember, this is Abraham's son. Abraham's grandson. Jacob and God fought all night long, and Jacob goes back out
and meets with his brother, reconciles with Esau. And then Jacob and God, they fight all night. They persist and they fight. And then God eventually breaks his hip. And Jacob walks away limping from that place on after his broken hip. What we missed in the 1 week was that then Jacob with his 12 sons, they reconciled with Esau. They settled down. And Jacob's 11th son, Joseph, he's the one that's favored by Jacob. Joseph's the one with the amazing technicolor coat. If you watched any movies or were alive in the 70s, I guess. Joseph was the favorite, and his brothers hated him, and they conspired to kill him. And then they sold him into slavery to Egypt. There in Egypt, Joseph was taken into jail. Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream that a huge famine was coming onto the land, and Pharaoh should stockpile grain and food. And then when the famine hit, Pharaoh understood who Joseph was, installed Joseph as the second in command of Egypt, the vizier. And there, Joseph then did Pharaoh's business. Eventually, the Israelites, the sons of Jacob, came into Egypt and asked Pharaoh for help. And Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Joseph told them to bring his father into Egypt, and there said, "What you ordained for evil, God ordained for good." The Israelites settle into Egypt and they start multiplying. And that gets us really to the end of the book of Genesis. The beginning of Exodus, which we read last week, that again we missed. This is way too much to do in 5 minutes, but that's okay. I feel like I'm teaching a youth group again. Dennis and Paula can attest to this. This is how our youth groups go. It's a whole lot of information in about 10 minutes. The Israelites populate in Egypt, and there's a new Pharaoh who doesn't remember Joseph, and Pharaoh starts to enslave the Israelites. Then 2 chapters later, God hears the cry of the Israelites and calls out to Moses from the burning bush. We see the plagues against Egypt. Moses says, "Let my people go." On Wednesday of last week, we saw the Red Sea, where the Israelites get out of Egypt and finally are on their own. And then they spend the next 40 years in the desert. 40 years in the desert, what I like to call a road trip to hell, where they just keep getting stuck. They keep going around and around. They cannot get out of the desert and into the promised land. And eventually, where they finally end up, is that God says that all who came out of Egypt will die, including Moses, before you can enter the promised land. You all will die because of your sins. You all will die because of your disbelief. And not one of you will make it into the promised land. And so all of them die off. All of the adults die off. And Moses is the last one. And that is where we get to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm sweating. I turned the fan on. That's what just happened. That's where we get to the book of Deuteronomy. Moses is dying, and Moses stands up and preaches one last sermon, one last time to talk to the Israelites, one last message to the Israelites before his son, Joshua takes control and leads them into the promised land. And so Moses is about to die. He stands up and addresses the whole tribe. And that is the book of Deuteronomy. That is the complicated book of Deuteronomy that we are reading. We'll be here for a couple of days in your daily readings. And then by next week, we're going to see Ruth and Naomi as we begin into the exile period. But we start in chapter 5. And Moses summons all of Israel and says, "Hear, O Israel, the decrees and the laws I declare in your hearing. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our fathers that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you from a mountain, and yet you hid yourselves." The Lord spoke to you from the mountain and you hid yourselves, and that was the first covenant. And again, if I had planned even a little bit better, we wouldn't have done an entire history of the Exodus and time in the desert all at once. When Moses says, God made a covenant with you, God made a promise with you, God made a contract with you, not with your fathers, but with you, Moses isn't being literal. And this is my first point, and this takes a whole lot more biblical history than I can do in 5 minutes. The people escape from Egypt. The Israelites escape and they go right to Mount Horeb, where God talks to Moses for the first time and gives them the Ten Commandments. And then they leave from that place and they start to head toward the Promised Land, and that's where they start sinning. And that's where God tells them that they are being punished for their sins and that they will all die. Then they roam around the desert for 40 years because of their sins. They all die except for Moses, who stands up and talks. And then Moses says, the Lord made a covenant with you, not with your fathers and with your mothers. The people he's talking to were not the people that were at the mountain of Horeb. The people he is talking to are the sons and are the daughters of those who hid their backs from God. They are not the original Israelites to hear these words, to hear this covenant. And it's important that I make this distinction. It's important that everyone understands this, because when Moses says, God made a covenant with you, Moses is talking to us even here today. God made a covenant with all of Israel for all of time, with all of Christians for all of time. God has made this covenant with not just those who were in the desert that morning, not just those who escaped out of Egypt and Pharaoh's clutches. God has established his covenant with us this morning. And then God says, this is verse 6, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you out of the land of slavery. I am the Lord your God. I am the one who brought you out of slavery. I saved you from oppression. I saved you from death. I saved you at the hand of the taskmasters. I, the Lord your God, perform these miracles. I, the Lord your God, saved your lives. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah. I am Elohim. I am the Lord your God, Moses reads from God. It is I who saved you. Now hear my Ten Commandments. Now hear what I have ordained for you to do. It's important. I need us to understand and place this in context. Because the Ten Commandments, and Pat Adams said it downstairs at the table. I'm going to read the Ten Commandments and then feel guilty. I don't mean to call you out like that, Pat, but this happens all the time. I'm going to read the Ten Commandments and I'm going to feel guilty. I'm going to read the Ten Commandments and feel guilty that I'm not following them. And I think what the problem is when we read the Ten Commandments, we read them as these stuffy rules, these laws that handcuff us, that are given to us by an angry God who wants complete obedience. That if we do not follow these commandments, that we must feel guilty. We must follow these commandments or else. But instead, I read these Ten Commandments as rules from a loving God. Remember how he starts. I am the Lord your God who saved you from slavery. I am the Lord your God who saved your life. I am the Lord your God who helped you. And so hear these commandments so that you may live a life as full as possible. now that you are freed. Hear these commandments so you will live a life worthy of being saved by God, or else we should have just left you in Egypt. These rules on their surface seem like a bunch of do nots. Do not worship other gods. Do not build idols. Do not take God's name in vain. But when we look at the do nots, we should read the freedoms that they give us. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall make no idols. The Israelites were in Egypt, where Pharaoh was considered a god who needed to be worshipped. He was literally considered divine. And so God is saying, you do not need to worship worldly gods. You do not need to worship false gods, idols, or create gods on a high point for you to worship. I am your God who saved you. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain, which frees you to use the Lord's name in praise and worship. To use the personal name of God, Yahweh is the personal name as much as my personal name is Jesse and not Pastor. Yahweh is the personal name of God. Lord is the personal name of God. And so using God's name, using Yahweh or Jehovah, using Lord as a form of devotion frees us so that we can pray, that we can be closer to God in our prayers and thanksgiving. But not to use God's name in a way that allows us to profit from it. Not putting our cross on our business cards, that way we hope that people think that we're reputable, when in fact we'll steal and defraud. Not putting the Jesus fish symbol on the back of our car and then cutting people off and flipping them the bird. Not using symbols or God's name as a way to identify ourselves to other Christians and other members of the faith, and then not uphold what it means to be a good person. Do not take the Lord's name in vain is a way of understanding that maybe we should use the Lord's name in worship. Take a Sabbath day. Can you imagine anything more revolutionary for a bunch of slaves? Take a day off from your labors. God is not saying do not work as a way to handcuff us. God is saying the Egyptians made you work 7 days a week without pay and without rest. Take a day off to worship God. How much do the Ten Commandments free us instead of bind us? How much are we supposed to feel guilty about the Ten Commandments or relieved by the Ten Commandments? I can take a day off and not feel guilty. I can worship the living God and not feel guilty. I can do all these things because God has given me permission. I am the Lord who saved you from Egypt. Follow these commandments and maybe you will live a life worthy of your freedom. I have saved you from the hand of the Egyptians who were going to kill you, and now I am saving you from your own hands. Do not steal, do not murder. Honor your mother and brother, honor your mother and father. Do not commit adultery, do not covet your neighbor's things. These free us to live in a society where others won't do that to us, and so we don't do that to them. Do not steal from your neighbor. Maybe your neighbor will have enough money to take care of themselves. Do not murder your neighbor. Life is precious. God is not giving us a list to make us feel constrained. He's not making us a list to feel handcuffed, not providing a way for us to feel bad inside. God is giving us a reason to be free, a reason to live our lives as free as possible. And then what Jesus later refers to as the greatest commandment, what is understood in Jewish tradition as the Shema, in chapter 6 we read, "The Lord your God is one." Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. This is, as Jesus says, the 11th commandment. This is the greatest commandment of law of all. This is the commandment that holds all the other commandments inside of it. Because how do you love God and still sin? How can you love God fully and with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your being and still sin? If we love him, why don't we keep his commandments? If we love him, why sin against him? Why sin against each other? We're all made in the image of God. We are all children of God. And so how do we sin against each other if we love God as fully as we can? How do we harm them or enslave them or judge them or fight them or do any of these things when we are supposed to love God with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of your minds? How do we love God's children? How do we love each other when the Ten Commandments show us how to love each other and yet we break them time and time again? Love these commandments so deeply, Moses says, or writes in this case. Talk about the love of God when you go home. Talk about the love of God on your commute along the road. Talk about your love of God so fully that every part of your body and soul and might belong to God. Yes, keep his commandments, but not because we fear God. Not because God is an angry God. Not because we feel guilty when we don't follow his commandments. But because God saved us from slavery. Because God saved us from Egypt. Because God saved us from slavery to the Egyptians. Because God saved us from slavery to sin. Or because God saved us from slavery to death. Or because God saved you from whatever slavery you are afflicted with today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart because he loved you first. Because he saved you first. Because he heard your cry in Egypt and knew that we couldn't do it alone. And so God saved all of us. He made a covenant with you, not with your fathers, that he would love you until the end of time. That he would love us until the end of time. This covenant is not just for the Israelites. It was not just for those who were at the mountain. It was not just for those who were stuck in the desert. It was not just for those who saw the miracles of Jesus. The covenants are for us. The promises are for us. There's a joy that comes from following the Ten Commandments. There is a joy that comes from loving the Lord our God. There is a joy that remembering that we are loved in such a way that God came and saved us from slavery. I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh. I am Elohim. I am Jehovah. I heard your cry and I saved you. My heart broke for you in slavery, and so I saved you. And now I will save you from yourselves. And so the Ten Commandments are not these rules that are a perfect way to live. Well, they are, but let me rephrase what I was saying. The Ten Commandments are not this set of rules that we must do whatever we can to live. That we must do whatever we can to follow, that we have to get away from other people so that we can avoid breaking the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments show us how to live in community. Show us how to live and to go out and talk to each other, to love each other, to treat each other the way that God would want us to treat each other. To love God because he saved us, to love God by living his love, to love God by teaching his love. God's love, Moses writes, is to be on our hearts. It's to impress God's love on our children, to talk about God's love when we sit around the dinner table or sit at Dunkin' Donuts, or sit in the car talking on our Bluetooth. To tie God's love as symbols to our hands and on our forehead, that we will never forget God's love for us. To write God's love on our door frames and on our gates, that every time we go home, we are reminded that God loved us so much that he took us out of Egypt. That he saved us from our own sin, our own slavery, our own addictions or problems or concerns that only we and God know. That God loved us so much that Jesus came for us. Came to learn, to live, to love in such a way that they killed him for it. And so this week, let us live out God's love. God saved you from slavery that we may live, and he gave us the commandments so that we may love. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.